Well, live here on the 24th, a day before Christmas, and at the time we celebrate the birth of Christ and everything that means, we should also consider in these perilous times, my dear friends, what Christianity means against the other ways of seeing religion, government, and society. And so today I present you a brief comparison of Christ versus, in this case, Muhammad, which I had kind of mentioned yesterday a little bit as I was. Actually, I said I was going to look into a few books of mine to see if I could lay out this idea of this, you know, what a Christian society would look like politically. And as I was kind of going through a few of the books I had, I realized that it was a pretty big undertaking and a little bit, you know, maybe a little bit vague. So what I decided to do is kind of examine that topic against Islam, because I think that even at the White House level, a lot of times we're kind of confronted with this idea that, you know, the religion of peace versus Christianity. Even the president seems to be very enthusiastic about Islam and defending it and kind of advocating for it at some level, without of course saying that he's a Muslim, although 30% of the United States believes he is a Muslim. And when I saw that, I thought, wow, this is really you know, this is kind of an amazing factor. The guy's been in office 7 weeks. So anyway, I decided I would do that. And but just kind of a general show, unless there's something that you would like to get into. I do have a pre-recorded show tomorrow, but I think it's a pretty interesting one. I think if you get up out of bed and looking for something to do, of course, you might find it interesting, a little bit on the history of Christianity, a little bit on the history of Christmas, the first hour and the second hour, just a little bit on the prophecies in the Bible that led those people to believe that the person that we now refer to as Jesus Christ, that he was, why they thought he was the Messiah. Anyway, you know, there's a lot of weather out there right now, and so let me get into... Got a few clips saved from yesterday, if they're still live. Weather Channel tends to reuse links after a very short period of time, because obviously what is more changeable than the weather. But there was a lot of activity. They had, and I can't remember what they call it, but it's some sort of an extreme weather event that they had not posted a warning of in about a year, I think, even maybe even longer. Extremely dangerous weather conditions that were leading them to believe that there could be a lot of tornadoes. Now, this is the warmest Christmas on record. They claim as warm as July. That's what Drudge is claiming anyway. Let me read you a few headlines here. Feds plan raid on illegals. I went and looked at this. Possibly hundreds. Illegal deportation is down in 2015. So I was trying to think, you know, if the president really ramped up illegal deportation, I think it would be number one, to help the candidates that are running for office right now in the Democratic Party. And then number two, I believe, to take away the sense that he doesn't really care, that he doesn't do anything about illegals. But they would be going after people who had already been informed that they had to leave. And they say possibly hundreds of people. That's a drop in the bucket. I mean, we get thousands of illegal entries every day, so... And there's an interesting clip that I've got from Reverend Franklin Graham, the son of Billy Graham, why I'm leaving the GOP. A lot of people are feeling that way, and we'll get into that a little bit, why, hopefully. Thank you. Well, good morning. If you're just tuning in, 7:06, the 24th, tomorrow is Christmas, of course. And if you're in town, you are probably doing something with family or at least friends, hopefully. I'm just looking at a story that's come out of the UK that the United States blocked from entering the United States a Muslim family that was headed to Disneyland, which sounds outrageous, probably to a lot of people. But my question would be, I mean, that's obviously if it was people that were related to radical Islam, which they had to have a reason to block them. They won't say why they did it. But, I mean, if you could get a bomb to go off at Disneyland, you know, that would be the Mount Everest of, you know, attacks. If you could blow up a bunch of kids, you know. So anyway, if there's any other news I want to mention before, I think this is kind of sad here, but the average American has less than $1,000 in savings. Did you know that when we went through the recession of 2007, 2008, which really has never really stopped technically, where we've, you know, even though the economic news sounds like it's getting better, there was $1 trillion of personal wealth that was wiped out, and it's not really replaced, of course. So Americans are a lot poorer than they were 10 years ago. So that's kind of sad. That means that, you know, increasingly people don't have anything to fall back on. The cost of leftism in the economy. All right. So I had mentioned yesterday that I was going to do a little investigation Christianity in history, and I could mention a bunch of things that Christianity brought into the world. Almost the entire world that we know of from Western Europe is at one point or another an expression of Christianity, some ideas out of the Bible or the church. And so as history goes on, the ideas that were popular or worked in the church are then taken and moved out of the church into the society, and they're desacralized. The name of God is taken away from these things, and they're just translated into the society. They become secularized. And so one of them is this idea of covenant, probably the most potent political idea in history. The covenant comes out of these early agreements between God and the Israelis, and the Israelis and other people. And then the notion of covenant is translated and becomes, when John Locke is working on it, the social contract. That's just one example. But anyway, as opposed to going through everything which I'd like to do a show about the effects, the fruit of Christianity in human society, I figured, why don't we talk about a little bit Christian versus Muslim? Because these are these two worldviews that are kind of fighting against one another right now. And the claim from the Middle East, from the believers of the Quran and Muhammad, is that they have the way that every person has to follow. The world needs to be subjugated for Islam. And if you're subjugated into Islam, according to them, then, you know, there will be peace on earth. Well, there'll be peace on earth because the people who disrupt the peace will be killed. But so their idea is it's coming out of God, and it's this very powerful and true thing. Now, the Christian response to that is, of course, different. So let me go through. I've got 10 things that I've listed here, Christian versus Muslim, just for you to think about. Number one, the political system, democracy versus tyranny, republicanism versus dictatorship. All right, so democracy, one person, one vote. But in a tyranny, you don't have a right to a vote. And in generally speaking, the idea of democracy is missing in Islam. I've got a book with me I would encourage anybody who's really interested in these things to get a copy of it. It is not a book that I had ever heard of, but I found it online when I was looking up topics. Sometimes I'll go into Amazon and look up topics, and I ran across it. And it is really a superb book. It's called The Egalitarian Spirit of Christianity, The Sacred Roots of American and British Government by Stephen Strehle, S-T-R-E-H-L-E. Now, I'd never heard of this guy, and he doesn't work at a religious institution. He works at Christopher Newport University, which I believe is in Hampton Roads, which is where I used to live over in Virginia. But he lists a bunch of stuff in here. The things that caught my eye initially were, it's got a couple of sections in here. All right, so just looking at these chapters here. The priesthood of the believers, number one, the growth of congregationalism, I'll get into that. Power to the people, the origin of democratic and federal government. That really captured my attention. And number three, countervailing government, the separation, balance, and limitations of the powers that be. Three pillars is the next chapter, the development of natural rights, common law, and mixed government. I could kind of look through this and just kind of, you know, kind of extemporize off the top of my head. But first, we have a call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Merry Christmas, Mr. O'Connell, and Happy New Year when it comes.
Merry Christmas, Takashi. How's it going today?
How are you doing, sir?
Good. How about yourself?
Top of the morning.
Top of the morning. What's going on?
Hey, I was just noticing with all this rhetoric about Islam and stuff, it's just one of those points people fail to miss is that there's over a million black people in the Nation of Islam and white people in the United States. And I'm wondering if people are, what's the word I'm looking for, compassionate to those citizens of this country. Because each time you hear this Islamic rhetoric, it's almost like they make it sound like it's a Middle Eastern thing or a Syrian thing. I mean, there's millions of Americans that are Islamists. So how do you address that going forward? And, you know, what are your feelings towards that?
Well,
and one more thing I want to say is about Christianity. What's the origin of the modern interpretation of Christianity, and what are your views on King James and Mr. Lord Buckingham? I'll take my answer.
Thank you. Merry Christmas. All right, so Nation of Islam, NOI, American Islam. American Islam starts off with a guy by the name of Wallace Fard, who is a trader in Detroit. He is a trader of clothes and stuff like that. And so he develops a theory of Islam. And his theory of Islam is different. It's so different that regular Islam does not accept them. But they believe that Wallace Fard was God. Now, there is a lot of kind of a God on earth. There's a lot of interesting things about Nation of Islam. But one of the things that's interesting about it is that it is they only believe, and these are the people that when you're driving through some of these eastern cities and you see guys on the street, black guys that are like dressed in suits and they're wearing bow ties. And they're selling a newspaper. Those are Nation of Islam people. They believe that white people cannot be saved because their soul is inferior. I'll just really quickly go through this because I don't want to spend a lot of time on it. I'll give you a couple of remarkable facts about it. But they believed that the original person, God, is black. The original people in the universe were black. And that they were sent to Earth or created on Earth. And that there were three original races, and then God sent to Earth every 25,000 years a scientist, a prophet scientist. Now, there was one sent to Earth called Yacoub, Y-A-C-U-B, and he was doing experimentations on the island of Patmos, which most people associate with John, the Apostle John, who wrote Revelations there. Jacob was on the island of Patmos, and he was doing evil things. He was doing genetic experimentation, the scientist prophet, and he accidentally created white people, and then he found that they were very hard to control, and so they were kind of breaking out of their pens, and so he sent them to Europe, and there they bred with great vigor, and they overran their compounds, and then they broke out, and then they began to oppress the other three races. Now, because they were genetic mutations, they do not have a normal soul, and so the Nation of Islam technically would not want to proselytize or evangelize the whites because they couldn't be saved because their soul is inferior, and so they cannot be saved. In the meantime, the white people have taken over the whole earth and are oppressing everybody else, and so there is a mothership that is flying around the earth at all times, and the mothership is going to come to earth and make these are basically quotes, mile high mountains across America to devastate America for its racism. And in the meantime, there are colonies of black people living on Mars, and that Wallace Fard was God. And then if we have an actual picture of Wallace Fard, and he appears to be white. So there's a few kinks to be worked out there, but that's Nation of Islam. So, and they do believe that Muhammad was a prophet of God, and they do believe that people got here through the tribe of Shabazz. So sometimes you see the name Shabazz that's associated, say, with Martin Luther King's family. I'm trying to remember, somebody has the last name of Shabazz among these people. The tribe of Shabazz was a lost tribe that came to America. So it's got a touch of what they call British Israelism, which I won't bother to define for you. All right, so that's Nation of Islam. Now, King James is just notable because he was alive during the time of the British Civil War, the English Civil War, which gave birth to basically America. America is kind of a product of the English Civil War in a sense, although the colonies were populated before that. British Civil War is approximately 1650, but it was let me put it to you this way. Let me kind of walk that statement back. The Civil War doesn't create America. What it does, because the colonies were brought over here 1620s. What the British Civil War does is it releases, or it brings to a head all of these warring elements in England, which was essentially the Catholic Church and the Protestant Church having a war through the Anglican Church, whether the Anglican Church was going to be Catholic or Protestant. And all of the results of those elements being released were itself the end result of the vernacular Bible, the fight over the vernacular Bible, which means the Bible in the common language. So taking the Bible and translating it from Latin or Greek, Hebrew, whatever, bringing it to the people, released probably the greatest intellectual explosion in history. We trace all of our important ideas from the conservative movement and from American the foundation, the founders, the colonial period, all kind of is associated with that. And then the ideas on the left, the French Revolution, gives birth to those, socialism, Marxism, and everything. So anyway, all right, get it. Okay, so let me take a break here because I want to reload and get into these differences between Islam and Christianity. Kelly O'Connell. And here's a great song, Mary, Did You Know, a little Christmas song from Mary's perspective. 721, Kelly O'Connell Show, AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523, 1450, and we'll be back.
Did you know that your baby boy baby boy would save our sons and daughters.
It's 7:25, and just kind of getting into some of this stuff that we were talking about just a moment ago. And I'm going to look for some weather. 45 degrees right now in Las Cruces because we didn't have a weather segment. The people are off today. 45 degrees, high of 61, then low of 41. It's going to be partly cloudy. And Friday, very cloudy. Saturday, rainy. Sunday, snowy. And Monday, sunny. So the complete gamut of a weather potential weather a formula of possibilities over the next 4 days. Tomorrow is going to be a little warmer, 67, low of 38. Saturday, 50 degrees high, low of 27. That's the rainy day. And then Sunday, you've got 37 high and 21 low. And we've just got some strange weather things going on related to El Nino, I believe. Although, of course, according to the global warming people, everything is derived out of global warming. The universe itself is a result of global warming. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Good morning. This is Tony. How are you?
Good. Tony, what's going on?
Nothing much. I want to kind of, before you start your thing on Muslims and whatnot, I just want to raise a couple of points.
All right.
And number one is a famous philosopher said years and, you know, multitudes of years ago that religion is the opium for the people.
That is not multiple years ago. That is Karl Marx.
That's Karl Marx. That's correct. Religion is the opium for the people.
1850s, and 1830s.
And I believe that.
All right.
Secondly, I felt, before you set this thing up, in context, I failed to see the difference between right-wing conservatism and mullahs of the Muslim faith that run various countries.
How about killing the people you disagree with?
We don't kill the people we disagree with. Although right-wing conservatives have a way of stifling people they disagree with.
Certainly, there's got to be a difference, sticks and stones, et cetera.
I don't necessarily agree, because ultimately what right-wing conservatives proffer is that we are a country pretty much ran by the Bible, pretty much.
Well, I'll grant you that the Bible has been misused, and for example, the slaveholders in the South, the support of slavery in the Bible, totally misused it, because slavery in the Hebrew world was apples and oranges, different, night and day different than it was in ancient Rome and in the South of United States, but it has benefited us in some ways, hasn't it?
No.
Seriously. No. All right. Well,
when you have, just like Strom Thurmond once said something about taking God out of the public schools and under Miss Murphy's bed and whatever have you, I fail to see the difference in a Muslim theocratic government and what right-wing conservatives
Okay.
Ultimately, would want.
All right. Let me ask you this. Do you know what it takes to go from a city, from one city or one part of the country in Saudi Arabia, which is the most Sharia compliant state, which you're talking about, run by a mullah? Do you know what it takes to go from Riyadh to another city in Saudi Arabia?
Not exactly.
All right, let me answer.
I do know what it takes to go.
Let me answer. Hey, don't Tony, don't. You know, time is precious, and I wanted to. Yeah. I was hoping. I've got a couple of calls that have thrown me off my desire here, but I'm kind of a caller oriented show. But don't demagogue me. you know, let me just answer here. You need written permission from the government to go from one city to another. And that's what, are you claiming that's what's going on here? No, of course not. Look, let me get into my points, and then the next show that I have, which will be next week, you can call in and tell me the 20 ways I'm mistaken.
Will do.
Tony, have a great Christmas or whatever you celebrate. Thank you very much. All right, folks. One more call here. This is Kelly. Brief call.
Hey, Kelly. This is Takashi again. I'd like to throw in a quick point to back up that last caller.
Please hurry.
Okay. Are you familiar with a reporter called Gary Webb that did a story on the Reagan administration?
No, but just a quick point because I really do want to – I'm going to stop taking calls after this.
Well, it's in reference to that Ricky Ross situation with the cocaine and the drugs in California. That was the Reagan administration.
All right.
Subsequent to that, the war on drugs, which we're still paying a debt to today, was started by the Reagan administration.
Right. Thank you for the call. All right, folks, no more calls because I want to get into this point that I'm trying to make here. You might think that I'm – you might claim that I'm totally out of it. Take notes and feel free to straighten me out. But who in their right mind says that it's the same thing living here in the United States as it is in Saudi Arabia or Iran? That's nuts. All right. Christian versus Muslim. Political system, democracy versus tyranny, republic versus dictatorship. In this book, if you get at the Egalitarian Spirit of Christianity, although I knew most of these things already, although it's a fabulous book and it's got a lot of great details, Congregationalism was this great engine of change because what they did is they decoupled from the Anglican Church, so they became an independent church. The independent church movement starts really in America, in Britain, with the Congregationalists, and then they had... Instead of the central church sending them their minister, they got to vote on who their ministers were. And so it was leadership from the elders, but it was a group of people. That's the foundation, believe it or not, of democracy in this country. Now, there is no such thing as democracy in the Middle East. They might have votes. Or I should say in Islam, there is some voting in Middle Eastern countries, but the idea of democracy is really missing from the Quran and from Sharia. And so you don't have republicanism, you have dictatorship. Republicanism is this idea that we're going to diffuse power through institutions. So in doing that, you make the society safer, and you also build up institutions that help people. And there's just an incredible number of institutions that we have in this country that do that, but one of which is the judicial system. Another one is the Congress, Senate and House. Senate was originally supposed to be leadership of the wisest elders, speaking of which, in the parties, and now it's become just another popularity contest. The House was supposed to be representation of the people, and then the Senate was supposed to be run by people who were chosen by the party as the wisest leaders of their state. That no longer happens. But anyway, political system, Democratic Republic beats the pants off of a dictatorship run by a tyrant. Okay, economy, number two, freedom versus control, capitalism versus socialism. In Middle Eastern countries, all of these economies are completely controlled by the governments. And so you don't have freedom of marketplace. You don't have freedom of contract. You can't just go out and do any job that you want. You've got to get, you know, permission, support from the government. Capitalism versus socialism. Capitalism is the application of freedom into the economy. Socialism, which is what all of these countries are in one form or another, is a controlling of not just the property, but also their right to work in the society. All of these things are regulated, heavily regulated. And don't forget, the Ba'ath Party was pan-Arab socialism. So the party, the people that we've come in contact a great deal with, the Iraqis and the Syrians, were pan-Arab socialists. All right, law, natural law versus Sharia, common law versus unchangeable ancient law. Natural law is the idea of a law above the law that informs our laws. And it gave rise to the common law, and it gave rise to the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and the idea of human rights and all these things. That's versus Sharia. Sharia is set in stone. There is no law above the law because it is directly given by God to mankind. And you've either got to follow it or you're in defiance of the law. Well, our common law system arose through case law, judge-made law, and that's why our legal system is so refined, because it's always changing and growing, because it's adapting to society. Something Sharia law can never do, because it cannot be changed. If you try to change Sharia law, it's an attack against God. All right, folks. We'll be right back. Take a little break here. This is Dense Stuff, so we'll take a little break and come back and continue on. Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE.
Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver.
Kelly here. We've got a call. I've already said that I'm not going to take any more calls, but who's this?
Yeah, this is Tom.
Yeah, briefly, Tom, please.
Yeah, it'd be nice if Tekashi went back to Jamaica and into the mountains there and smoked his ganja. And the other guy, Tony, he should go to Saudi Arabia where he'd be happy.
Thank you, Tom. Yeah. All right, folks. Look, I mean, I don't care if you insult the far right or whatever. That doesn't offend me. But to say that the far right, who you call the far right, is the same as the Ayatollah Khomeini is an insult to people's intelligence. All right. So anyway. All right. So then now religion. How is religion handled between what we're talking about is religious pluralism, the rights of people to have. Well, anyway. Let me just go through these points. Religion, separation versus theocracy, freedom versus compulsion. In these Middle Eastern countries, there's no freedom of religion. You're free to practice Islam. A believer of another group, you can only be of one of two different groups of Christianity or Judaism, and those are dhimmis. And then you have got to toe the line, and you can't proselytize. You can't tell other people about your faith. You can't wear a cross. You can't have a Bible. It's, for example, you know what Tony's talking about. If they find you with a Bible in Saudi Arabia, you will be beaten or executed, or probably both. You can't wear a cross, even though Islam claims to be a biblical religion. So in our country, we separate religion from government to some extent. In those countries, it's the theocracy. God rules the state. We have freedom of religion here, whether we want to practice it or not practice it. We're totally free. There, it's by compulsion. All right. And there's no such thing as atheism in those countries, because to be an atheist is to be a pagan. And to be a pagan means that you can be killed without protection. Now, some of the stuff that I'm saying to you might sound crazy or mistaken. I can guarantee you, like I just said, I just found one of my articles is being used by a university at a course, a political science course, 361 course. And I think it was at Saylor University. Anyway, there's a link to it. And it says, study this article. So to understand Islam, theology, our theology in this country is biblical. And the Islamic theology is very influenced by paganism. It's Christianity or Judaism versus tribalism theory. They're in Islam, there's no nation state theory. It never developed. The nation state theory develops in history from the medieval period forward, to the point where we have autonomous nations representing their own people. And, you don't have that in the Middle East. What you have there is the idea of Dar es Salaam or Dar al-Salaam versus Dar al-Harbi, the house of God versus the house of the unbelievers, the house of peace versus the house of war. All right, representative government. You have the caste system versus the franchise. You have Islam versus dhimmihood. All right, I say a caste system because your rights to have any representation by the government depend on what you believe. It's a caste system. If you're a Muslim, you have rights. If you're not a Muslim, your rights are very limited, if they exist at all, and you don't have the franchise, which is the term we attach to voting. The right to vote is the franchise. And you're either a Muslim, in which you're vested with rights, or you're in the dhimmi class, the Jew and the Christian, therefore you don't have rights. But there's a lot of other people that don't have rights over there. They have visitors that don't have any rights. And, you know, they have a lot of people that they bring in from other countries to work over in these Middle Eastern countries. And also women. Women don't have rights. Now, women's status, adult versus child, freedom versus bondage. Women's status in America is as an adult. It is an equal member of society, the same rights and privileges to vote, to own property, to marry and divorce, and to live separately from their families. In Islam, a woman cannot live like that. She cannot live separately from her husband or her father. She either is married to, or she lives at home. She's controlled by her family. That's a fact. And so the women are living under bondage in the Middle East, or in under Islam. Non-believers, there's freedom versus bondage, full versus partial status. I already mentioned this in a way, but if you're a non-believer, then you are not vested with these same rights. And for instance, if a Muslim, and this is under Sharia law, if a Muslim attacks a dhimmi or does something, you know, does something that you would see taken care of in court over here, those options are not available to dhimmi. A Jew or a Christian in a Muslim country practicing Sharia law cannot take a dhimmi to court. The only option they have is to get some level of fine, some level of payment, but they cannot take them to court. They can't sue them because that would be a disgrace. All right. In terms of charity, the view of life is based on charity, some level of, you know, the state that we call, you know, whether it's, you know, what do you want to call it? Social welfare or whatever, taking care of the poor and the sick and the old and the handicapped and those who can't find work. All right. That comes out of Christianity and Judaism. In Muslim countries, you don't have a right the Quran says repeatedly, and I've got some statements from it right here. The Quran says repeatedly that charity is for believers, and that's not how we do it over here. Now, as a matter of fact, we're bringing in Muslims into this country under the theory of charity. We have to bring in Syrians. We have to bring in all these other people. We owe it to the world to give our charity to everybody, but Islam doesn't believe in that. Here is Quran 28:86, never be a helper to the unbeliever. Quran 8:55, surely the vilest of animals in Allah's sight are those who disbelieve. Quran 48:29, Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, and those with him are hard, ruthless against the disbelievers, and merciful amongst themselves. All right, so our idea of charity doesn't exist over there. And we also believe in helping the world, helping our neighbors, helping the unfortunate from around the world. They don't believe that. They don't even believe in helping each other. If you look at the fact that Saudi Arabia has not taken in one person from Syria, and yet we've taken in 100,000. How is it possible that a kingdom, a very wealthy kingdom that is right next to Syria, right near Syria, can't, and who believes in the same thing, supposedly the religion of peace and brotherly love, can't take in a single Syrian? What does that tell you about what they believe? That is the most Sharia compliant nation on the earth, the most into the Quran and Muhammad, and they won't take in their fellow believers. And then the last one would be peace. The Bible and Jesus teaches to turn the other cheek, and the Quran says to slap it if, you know, you don't. If Christ preached continual forgiveness of enemies, and even helping your enemies. And in Islam, that's not what happens. Someone who resists you, you try to bring him into Islam. If they resist you, you have the right to kill him. And therefore, you end up with jihad versus peace. Most nations around the world that are not Muslim want peace. But Islam is continually vesting itself in jihad to try to conquer the world for Allah. Anyway, Kelly O'Connell, and we'll be right back. Those are my differences that I see. If you think I'm wrong, challenge me. I'll take calls now. 523-1450, AM Las Cruces 1450, KOBE. Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450, and we'll be back.
Mary, did you know?
It's Kelly. Who's this?
It's Jerry. Hey, Kelly.
Jerry, let me put you on hold.
You know,
Jerry, thanks for the call. Who's this?
This is Tony. Shame on you, Mr. O'Connell. I am not advocating Islam. The only point that I saw
Tony,
to make was...
Tony, yeah. Tony, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hold it. Let's bring it on the air. Sounds like a good argument.
Okay.
Hold on. Jerry, what are we going to talk about?
Merry Christmas to you, Kelly, and to all of Las Cruces. Anyway, the Bible influenced our founding fathers so much.
Right, but Jerry, when you call up, don't start talking without listening, because a lot of times I have to, like, maybe put you on hold because somebody else is calling or I have to go to break or whatever. I'll bring you on and we can talk about that, okay?
Okay.
Thanks. I got one caller before you. I'll get him off real quick, and then I'll go to you. All right?
That's fine.
All right. Thanks. All right. We've got a call from Jerry. And Jerry, turn that radio down.
Yes, sir.
Jerry, just briefly, we're almost out of time. What's up?
Okay, first off, Merry Christmas to you and Las Cruces and Anthony. Did you know that they named the presidency, they took the actual word name presidency from the Bible, the founding fathers did, and it's from Daniel chapter 6, verses 2 through 7, I believe.
All right.
So that's where they got the actual name for it, to call the office, the highest office in the land, was from the Bible.
All right.
So.
All right, Jerry.
That's.
Thanks a lot, man.
Thank you, sir.
Have a great day. All right, we've got Tony back to defend his honor. Tony, go ahead.
Yeah, first of all, like I said, shame on you, because, first of all, I am a Christian. However, the point that I was trying to make is, I fail to see the difference between extreme right-wing Christians and theocratic Muslims. And your...
Why?
Hold
on. Give me an example of what you're talking about so people can kind of... That the term right-wing Christian is somewhat vague.
Okay, in the sense of the extreme right-wing, the anti-abortion, the God in school, the
all right.
No makeup.
All right, okay, let me ask you one question, because we're running out of time here, and this will give a chance to flesh it out. Do you believe that your God as a Christian supports abortion?
Abortion? I believe my God as a Christian gives people the right to be self-determined, to determine that for themselves.
All right, let me ask a follow-up question. Do you think it would have been wrong for Mary to get an abortion when she was pregnant with Jesus?
I don't think that's a question of right and wrong. I think from the historical perspective, no, she didn't get an abortion. It's a good thing she didn't.
Exactly.
And I'm not here to – the only point in the whole thing – when you gave your diatribe on Muslims, you used the most extreme state of Muslim, which is Saudi Arabia. What about Turkey? Are you familiar with Turkey? I've been to Turkey.
I am familiar with turkey, and I actually hope to have a little turkey later this evening.
Okay, well, Turkey is a Muslim country.
Uh-huh.
That is a democracy.
Yeah, but do you know
one
why?
Man,
listen, hold on, hold on,
vote.
Hold on.
Why
Tony, remember, don't demagogue me. How did Turkey become a democracy? Because it's very illustrative of how it actually happened. We only have a couple minutes left, so I'll answer the question. I don't know if you know. It's a guy by the name of Ataturk who became the leader of Turkey. He spent a couple of years trying to work with the mullahs and get them to sign on a constitution. They refused to sign on to anything that was not a Sharia document. And so he said, I'm not going to work with you. He threw out the religious element and he adopted, believe it or not, the constitution of Switzerland, the Turkish are under a Swiss. And that just proves to me, to you, my point.
Which is?
The point is that these ideas come out of Christianity. They come out of a Christian history of Europe. They're not found in Islam. And I'm sorry to say that, but I found out through study.
But what I'm saying to you is anything to an extreme is not a good thing.
But you,
Christianity or be it Sharia law.
Well, I don't.
It's not a good thing.
All right. Okay. All right. So we're almost out of time here. I'll let you make a signature statement.
The only point I'm trying to make is the extremes of any religion stifles individual creativity and belief.
Okay. Thank you, and Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to you, my friend.
Thank you, Tony. Great call. All right. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connor Show. Who's this?
Yeah, you're probably – it's Harold.
What's up, Harold? Briefly, we're almost out of time.
Okay, briefly. I just want to point out to the citizens of Las Cruces that about three traffic lights that are not working well. Over there in Trevise in Missouri, the two of them, and by Monsieur Valimal. I'm just doing the Christian thing to help people cannot get a ticket.
Okay.
That's by Monsieur Valimal and Trevise in Missouri, two of them. Okay, Merry Christmas. Bye-bye-bye.
Thanks, Harold. All right, folks. Okay, so thanks for tuning in. And let's you guys, I got all day to take criticism on my points, but there is a big difference between the worldview that's spun out by Christianity and that we've developed in the West and the Middle East. I mean, Islam. Might as well be me to tell you because I don't hear much talk about it. I mean, we hear about radical Islam and how dangerous it is, and we agree on that. But the belief system over there is not it's not the same thing as Christianity. Anyway, it's the time of the year that we celebrate Christ, so I thank you for listening in, and I've really enjoyed even coming on today live, even on Christmas Eve. Fun to hang out with you guys, and so in terms of the season, just enjoy your friends and family, and want to take in a little gratitude for everything we've been giving in this wonderful country. Thanks a lot, and I'll talk to you next week. But I hope you have a great Christmas. Merry Christmas. Thanks for listening to the Kelly O'Connell Show, and just have a lot of fun today and tomorrow. Ciao.